I love the message that God has put on my heart for today. It's something that on Wednesday nights I've been teaching for several weeks now, probably several months. It's to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Exponential growth in our lives as Christians. To be filled with His Spirit. You know why? Because as people, as human beings, we get in habits of things. You know, we get up about the same time in the morning. We usually about the same range of foods, and we go to work or school, whatever our thing, or it's our home chores, whatever. We get in this routine of things, and we also do that in our spiritual life. We just get in routines. To where, well, we may read our Bible on a Monday. We may not. Well, Wednesday night church, well, we've got two or three other things going on, so we may not show up for Wednesday night. Sunday morning, come along. We just come, and we come with the expectation of not a whole lot. We're just going to sit. We're going to listen to some music. We'll sing along a little bit. We'll hear a message. We go back out, and our week starts all over again. That's not what Jesus Christ died on the cross for us to do. Let's be honest. Our lives are not to be that boring spiritually. Our lives are to make a difference in the world. And the only way we can do that is if the Holy Spirit is in control and if the Holy Spirit fills us every day to live our life for Christ and look for opportunities that He sends our way to be a blessing in the lives of others and to make a difference and to share His love, to share the gospel of Christ, what difference He's made in my life. Listen, if He's not made a difference in your life, if Jesus has not made a difference in your life, then you're lost. And you have no story to tell. I'm afraid that many people sitting in church pews today around the world are lost. They're religious. They go through the actions. They go through the habit. They go through the routine. But Christ has not made a difference in their life. Oh, they may not cuss as much. They don't tell the dirty jokes. They don't gossip as much as they used to. So there's some improvement. But when Jesus makes a difference in your life, you stand out. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Through 21. Book of Ephesians. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Exponential growth and power for believers. D.L. Moody said this. Oh, I love this quote. God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And if we are not filled, it is because we're living beneath our privileges. That we have the privilege, as Christ being our Savior, to be filled and to live every day in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes this to the church. He says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity and foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For if you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, how powerful your word is to us, because your Spirit illuminates it to our minds. God, even reading those passages, those verses, we begin to see so often where we begin to, Lord, we begin to navigate some things in our life, and we call that gray area, and you call it sin. Oh, Father, I pray today, as Christians, God, you fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, that we can stand out for you. That we as a church are a Spirit-filled church, God, and that we are a light upon a hill to a lost world. God, maybe there's someone even in this morning that doesn't know you as Savior. And Lord, their cry out to you is to forgive them and that they believe by faith in you as Savior. Move freely today, Spirit of God. In your name we pray, amen. So the first thing we need to know is why should we be filled with the Spirit? Why should we be filled with the Holy Spirit? See, Christians have a responsibility to live like Jesus. The only way that we can live in this lost world and live like Jesus is if we're filled with His Holy Spirit. When Jesus died upon the cross and He resurrected from the dead, He told the disciples to wait here, wait in Jerusalem, for the Spirit, for the one to come, and He will baptize you with fire. So what did the disciples do after Jesus ascended? They hung out for 10 days praying. 10 days praying. Try to get a bunch of Baptists together for a prayer meeting now. If you don't have cake and coffee to offer them, whoo, it's a slim picking. They stayed together, 120 of them, in the upper room in Jerusalem, praying for the Holy Spirit to come, and the Holy Spirit showed up. See, Christians have this responsibility to Christ to demonstrate His love toward others and reflect God's glory. We see in verse 1 and 2, He says, "Being an imitator of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We're commanded to live out the high calling to be an imitator of God. How's that going for you? See, we're commanded to live out to be an imitator of God. Not just, "Hey guys, do the best you can." No, we have a higher calling than that. See, the only way to fulfill this calling is to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul gives two distinguishing marks in Christian lives who are imitating God. The first one, he says, that you forgive each other. See, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 33, that was a verse right before, says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." Grace is a mark of a believer as we forgive others who have wronged us. Are you walking around with a grudge against someone? Are you walking around and angry about something that someone did? Sometimes it's hard to give grace, but we are commanded that that is a mark of a believer that we forgive others. And it's always a choice. It's not a feeling. Forgiveness is never a feeling. It's always a choice. Your feelings will eventually catch up. See, forgive each other, says be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other, verse 32 says, just as in Christ forgave you. Grace is a mark. Forgiveness is a gift to give others to and give ourselves. See, forgiveness forbids the hurtful actions, the piercing comments of others to get a stronghold in our lives. Others need forgiveness just like we need for their forgiveness. And we need God's forgiveness. Our motivation to forgive others, listen, it's not just to make ourselves feel better. It's not just to let ourselves, you know, begin to heal and those things do help, do happen. We forgive others because we want to be an imitator of God. Listen, that is the core of forgiveness, is we want to do it because God did it for us and we're going to do it for others. Be an imitator of God. The benefits of forgiveness is that others see Jesus living in us, and we are now no longer held captive under the power of someone else's hurtful actions. We're to cherish a forgiving spirit, verse 1 says, as dearly loved children. We are God's children, and we are to imitate and act like Him in this sin-cursed world. And there are people who hurt us, and there are people who we hurt. And we have to work through this life. And grace has to be a key part of it. Living with humble, forgiving spirit distinguishes Christians from the lost world. We avoid revenge. We avoid retaliation and retribution of harm to pay back a wrongful action. In other words, we're holding back off of revenge. Now, it's tempting. We'd like to get even with them. We'd like to pay an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We'd like to do something, but grace won't let us. See, the second thing Paul mentions is not only are we forgiving one another, the mark of a believer is that we have a sacrificial life. Now I'm starting to meddle a little bit. A sacrificial life. I mean, that's from our time, our talents, our giving, all of it. Sacrificial. Verse 2 of chapter 5 says this, says, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That Jesus sacrificed everything for us, but we won't give him 5 hours a week. We won't give him a couple of more minutes of our time to read the Bible. But he gave up everything. See, Christ is a superior example of a sacrifice. He sacrificed everything to bring salvation and healing to a world who would trust him. See, because Jesus lived and died sacrificially, we too are called out of this world to live filled with the Holy Spirit so that we too will have the power to live sacrificially. See, Jesus' love calls us. It causes us to love others unconditionally and to love them sacrificially. When is the last time that you gave to a neighbor out of the love of Christ that's in you, gave to them sacrificially? You had $20 and you gave him 20. Or you gave him 18 of it. You gave something till it hurt. In the old Baptist church, we used to stand up and then offertory hymn. You know, we'd have a hymn and everybody'd stand up for the offertory hymn and while we'd sing, you know what that was for? So you could reach in your neighbor's pocket and give till it hurts. That was a joke, but you didn't get it. So I'll move on. Giving sacrificially means that we give of ourselves beyond what we think is proper. To give as Christ would give. See, Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The why should we be filled with the Holy Spirit? It's very simple. We need the Holy Spirit to guide our lives in order for us to live pleasing to God and to empower us to fulfill our purposes, to share God's love and the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. How many people, Christians, have you witnessed to last year in 2017? How many people did you share your faith with? You see, most of us would probably say, I can't think of one. So what about 2016? Probably no one. What about 2015? So the very thing that God told us to do, we're not doing. Why? Because we don't feel power in our life to do it. We think, I've got my faith. I'll just keep, faith is a private thing. No, it's not. That's a lie from the pits of hell. You know what? People say faith is a private thing. Listen, that relationship between you and Jesus is a private thing. But I tell you what, he said, go tell people. That's for each one of us, not just as a church. As a personal believer, I have a responsibility to know that there are lost people going to hell. And do I love them enough to share the gospel, or do I hate them so much to let them go to hell? Strong words. The only way that you will witness in your life is if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God is on you, that you have boldness and courage to open your mouth to say something to someone. It may be on the elevator in the hospital, just to greet them good morning, to start a conversation, just to say how beautiful their children are, just to start a conversation with people at work. And I ask the Holy Spirit works in you. You're planting the seeds to open the opportunity to share faith. Are we doing that? You'll only do that when you're filled with the Spirit of God. So the next thing we come to is not only why should we be filled with the Holy Spirit, but how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? How? That total surrender of self to Jesus. See, to be filled with the Holy Spirit means an emptying out of every part of ourselves to Jesus and request to be filled with the Spirit. Listen, God won't go. The Holy Spirit will not be sent where he is not welcomed. Those 120 praying in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come, for the Comforter to come, as Jesus said, they were seeking God's greatness. They were pursuing the Holy Spirit's power in their life and their gifts that they needed to minister with. We see in verse 15 and verse 18, it says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation or self-indulgence. But be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded. Paul is telling the Christians of his day, and even of today, that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. This is not chaotic nonsense. Matter of fact, Paul warns against thwarting the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe you've seen churches on TV and you visited churches where people are running around and jumping over pews and all like that. That's nonsense. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, for God is not the God of disorder, but the God of peace. As in all congregations of the Lord's people. The Holy Spirit doesn't make us crazy. The Holy Spirit makes us whole. God sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us with power, to live in obedience to Christ and empower us for ministry. Oh, today, may we empty ourselves of us, of all the things that we want, all the things that we desire, in order for the Spirit to fill us, so that our program will be God's program. God's program will be our program, that we are one with the Heavenly Father. See, in seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit, there's a need to prepare ourselves. A need to prepare ourselves. So it's not just about saying, oh, Lord, fill me. Oh, no, there's some emptying out to do. So I want to give you a few steps. And the first one is this. Confess all known sins in our life. We must confess all known sins in our life. See, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, confession breaks the dangerous cycle of denial. Listen, the church is in denial of the sin that's in our life. We are in denial that there's sin in our life. We whitewash it. We hide it from our spouse. We hide it from our kids. We hide it from our brothers and sisters in Christ. But when we're alone, we indulge. Or when we're with a certain group of friends, we have our church friends and we have our party friends. So we want to come out here. Listen, you can't play in the church and in the world. God will not have that. We are for God or against God. But we live in denial. There's things that have a stronghold in our life. We wonder why we're so angry. We wonder why we have a short temper. We wonder why we backtalk people. We wonder why we're so sarcastic. Why are we like that? It's because somewhere buried deep inside of us is some sin. We can blame it on our heritage. We can blame it on our lineage. We can blame it. That's all we saw all our life. Mom and daddy were like that, so I'm like that too. No, you are responsible for you. Not what mom and daddy did. Breaking our silence of secrets. Our selfish nature of self-preservation, where we struggle to look good rather than be good. See, God's not really interested in what we look like in front of people. He's not really interested if we look good in front of people. But we sure are. Man, we want everything to be just right about us. We want our family to be just right. We want our friends to be just right. We don't want to mix our world friends with our church friends because we don't want them thinking anything bad of us. We want everything to look good. So we build this shield out there for everybody else to think I've got it together. And you know you don't. The worst part is everybody else knows you don't either. Confess your sins today to God. He loves you. Listen, he's very much aware of all your failures and all your brokenness. Would you please agree with him? Agree with him. You have sin in your life. Tell him all about it. Take your time. Listen and be thorough. Listen, we're wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This vague type of, oh, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. You know that prayer that we all say together? Lord, forgive me of my sin. But we don't want to name them. We're just kind of a blanket statement. Oh, God, I'm a sinner. Throw the blanket over it. No, God wants to say, Lord, I lust. God, I'm greedy. And God, here's what I've done because I'm greedy. I'm stealing from the church. I'm stealing from you. I'm not paying my taxes. See, that's thorough. God wants to have you have a thorough time with him. He already knows your sin and he knows mine. What have we got to hide from him when he knows it already? And we even try to lie past him. Well, maybe he didn't see that one. See, with God, you have nothing to hide and nowhere to run. See yourself for who you are and just trust God to remove your sins. Psalm 32, verse 5, David says it this way, then I confess my sins to you. I did not conceal my wrongdoing. I decided to confess them to you, and you forgave all my sins. Watchman Nee said it this way. It says, children of God should not make it a general confession of acknowledging their immutable sins in a vague manner, because such confession does not provide conscious opportunity to do its perfect work. See, they ought to allow the Holy Spirit through their conscience to point out their sins one by one. And Christians must accept its reproach and be willing, according to the mind of the Spirit, to eliminate everything which is contrary to God. Confess our sins is the first step in following the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. The second step is this, is to repent of those sins. It's one thing just to admit that you have something wrong and do nothing about it. See, you can admit you have a bad temper. You have an anger problem. You really need some anger management issues. It's one thing to know that you're a lustful person and never do anything about it. The next part is repentance. See, repent of all, any and all sin in your life. Confession belongs with repentance and is needed for divine forgiveness. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of behavior. And accompanies that is some regret and remorse. True repentance leads a person to say, I have sinned, and prove it with a 180-degree turn in their direction. It's like this. I know I have these sins in my life, Lord, but I'm turning away from that sin. My mind is different about it. I see it for what it is. I don't want it in my life. Lord, my behavior is now not pursuing that sin, but pursuing you. That's repentance. Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. See, there are so many Christians who are feeling sorry for doing wrong things, yet they do not repent. Just feeling sorry about a sin does not bring forgiveness. We are to confess and repent with a turning from our personal will to God's will. So we often assume that remorse is equal to repentance. And it is not the same. Remorse brings feelings of regret. Repentance brings forgiveness and more grace. When we do bad things, we feel bad about it, but it doesn't mean we've repented. Maybe this morning you realize that you've been sorry for sin in your life, but you've never truly repented of it. You've never really turned away from it. Why? Because you're still dabbling in it. Man, I feel bad about doing this. I feel bad about saying this. I feel bad about my actions. But you're still doing it. That's not repentance. You see, listen, confession and repentance means that you realize that you've got wrong. And that you change your mind. Lord, here it is. I agree with you that it's wrong. And you name it out to God. And you tell him all about it. Listen, that may take a little time. You can't do that in a 3-minute prayer. Maybe this morning you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe this morning, this confession and repentance, listen, the rest of the sermon won't mean a thing to you if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you never come to a point of realizing that Jesus loves you so much, he died on the cross to forgive you for all the wrong things you've done in life, all those bad things, all those sins that Jesus Christ has already paid for them, will you please accept his gift of salvation that he wipe it all away? Would you repent of your sins? Turn from living that way in sin to turn to Christ? Would you do that this morning? Listen, you want Jesus as your Savior? You let us know. We'll be glad to pray with you. I've got staff in the church. I'm here. We'll pray with you. Except Christ. Maybe you want to talk more about it. You said it, you call the office and it's in your bulletin. Call the office, set up a time. We're gonna visit together. Oh, today. Third step and be filled with the Holy Spirit is to commit every area of our lives to the Lord's service. You see, Christians, I'm gonna talk to you for a moment. This is you, Christian, being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, most of the time, we hear the repentance, We hear about the confession, but what stops us from truly being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is this: we don't want to open ourselves up for ministry. Just say it. See, many Christians freeze up when it comes to offering the Holy Spirit free reign to lead them where He wants them to serve. See, it is vital, our spiritual growth, that we surrender every area of our lives to the Lord's service. Being filled with the Holy Spirit does have personal spiritual benefits to enhance our worship and wisdom and knowledge and compassion toward others. Yet we also see that we are invested in service for our Lord Jesus Christ. We'd look back further in Ephesians, says, why are we saved? We're saved to do the works that God has already prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You've already been called to do great service. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, and my message, Paul says, and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Jesus tells his followers in John 14, 26, he said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Many want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but they abstain from giving Him free rein in their life. You know why? Because they're afraid that God's going to send them as a missionary somewhere on the outer skirts of some foreign country where life is hard and difficult and ministry is dangerous. And their family's going to about starve to death over there. And they don't want to live in a hut because it's hot. It's not real likely that God's going to do that for you. But it's very likely that He's going to get you right where you're at, filled with the Holy Spirit. He planted you where you are for a particular reason. If He wanted to uproot you, you've already given your life to Christ. He owns you already. He can uproot you anywhere He wants. You could lose your job and have to go somewhere else. Would you rather go in the glory of God or looking for a job? He owns you already, Christian. But He's going to give you courage and boldness and strength and the knowledge and know what to say. And He will send the people your way, and you're looking for them right where you are. You don't think there's any lost people in Ville Platte? You don't think there's lost people in Evangeline Parish? There's 10,000 people just in the city limits of Ville Platte. Within a 10-mile radius, there's plus 27,000 people. If you went to every church around here and just researched how many people showed up for church today, you would begin to realize very quickly, man, there's some lost people around here. Yeah, and you work with some of them. Some of them's in your family. They're all around you. God doesn't have to send you to Africa or India or South America to do the very thing that He's got you in the middle of right now. Oh, today, don't be afraid where God's going to send you. I prayed for the Holy Spirit to fill me. He sent me to the foreign mission field of Ville Platte. And I was already in Pine Prairie. Listen, He enhances your passion to see lost people saved, to see lives changed, to see healing take place in their life for those who are hurting. Well, Henry Blackaby said this: will God ever ask you to do something that you are not able to do? The answer is yes, all the time. It must be that way for God's glory and kingdom. If we function according to our own ability alone, we get the glory. If we function according to the power of the Spirit within us, God gets the glory. He wants to reveal Himself to a watching world. God will ask you to do something that's far beyond your ability. That way you'll have to lean on Him every step of the way. The fourth step is this: yield yourself fully to the Holy Spirit. So you open yourself up. You've confessed all your sin. You repented of those sins. You named them one by one. This one would take you a little time. Name them one by one. Listen, then you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Make Him welcome That means that you open yourself up without reservation to Christ. It's not, Lord, fill me with your spirit, but don't send me to Oakdale. Don't send me to Eunice. And definitely don't send me to Lafayette to do any ministry, Lord. No, that's reservations. See, we're to pray without holding back any part of our lives. We give him total freedom in our soul, in our mind, our body, our marriage, our family, our career, our church, our service, what we do, everything. We're open and pursuing the filling of the Holy Spirit in every way. We hold nothing back from him. Does that sound scary? No, it doesn't. Because that's where we're supposed to be anyway. I like what Henry Blackaby said here. He says, the Holy Spirit doesn't need to equip you for what you're not going to do. So if you're in rebellion against Jesus and refusing his right to be Lord, he doesn't need to send the Holy Spirit to equip you for service. And tragically, you miss out on all the joy that he brings. So let the Holy Spirit deal with anything that's keeping you from obeying Christ. Church, we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. No one has to beg us to volunteer. No one has to beg us to step forward, even if it's out of our comfort zone. No one has to go to us and plead with us, would you please serve? We have a need here. No, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, says, I'll do. I may not know what I'm doing when you teach me a little bit, but I want to do it because the Holy Spirit has filled me and I want to be about God's work. The fifth step is this. Believe that Christ is going to empower you in a new way and equip you with new gifts for ministry. Verse 11 and 12 of Ephesians 4 says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for equipping the saints for the work of the service, for building it up, the body of Christ. See, you confess and repent of your sins thoroughly. You commit every part of yourself and your life to Christ for the filling of the Holy Spirit. You open yourself up totally to the Spirit to move freely in you. And you trust Jesus to equip you through the Holy Spirit with new gifts for ministry. He will give you gifts needed for ministry that he has providentially planned for you. Watchman Nee said it this way, there's nothing stereotyped about God's dealings with his people. Therefore, we must not be prejudiced or have preconceptions and make watertight compartments for the working of his Spirit, either in our own lives or in the lives of others. We must leave God free to work as he wills and to leave what evidence he pleases to work with in their life. The Holy Spirit will give you gifts as he declares those gifts for you in ministry. The gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give to us are for ministry. They're not for our own personal use. They're for ministry. They're to edify the church, to build up the church as a whole. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7 says, and there are all kinds of gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who gives them. There are different kinds of work to be done in him, but the work of the same Lord. There are different ways of doing his work, but it is the same God who uses all ways and all people. The Holy Spirit works in each person in one way or the other for the good of all. All gifts are given to build up the church. 1 Corinthians 14, 12 says, and the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have special abilities in the Spirit that the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. As we're praying, we're seeking God. God, fill me, Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I've poured, I've emptied myself out. God, fill me with your Spirit. We are to seek, ask for the gifts that benefit the church as a whole, that we can grow disciples. The sixth step is this. and I know I'm over my time. The sixth step is this. Ask Jesus to pray to fill you with his Spirit. Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on those who were listening to the message. See, these first five steps are really just a time that we prepare for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Listen, when you confess that you are a sinner and you begin to name those sins thoroughly, not just, oh, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Well, yeah, that's good news. No, name exactly what it is in your life. Not what somebody, not your husband's life, not your wife's life, you. You name. God already knows. You're just agreeing with him. Repent of those. In other words, Lord, here they are. Father, as ugly as they are, forgive me. Read Psalm 25. It'll make a difference in your life. Psalm 25. It'll make a difference in your life. So, Lord, here they are. Forgive me. Listen, open yourself up. God, I don't know what you want to do. I don't know where you want to send me. And God, it doesn't really matter to me. Father, I just want you to have free reign in my life. Holy Spirit, fill me. Give me the gifts I need because I want to serve you. I'm tired of warming a pew. I'm tired of just being a habitual Christian, just to show up at church and go home. Show up at church and go home. God, I want to make a difference in this world for you. God, would you fill me with your Spirit today? Listen. Confession, repentance, and renewed commitment, heightened faith and expectations. Listen, when they're genuine in your life, can only bring marvelous results. Ask Jesus to fill you to full measure in the Holy Spirit, to bring you empowering of the Holy Spirit in your life and growth in your spiritual gifts for ministry. Listen, prayer and Bible study will be more meaningful. Worship will be dynamic and moving. Evangelism, listen, will exhibit more fruitfulness. You'll have the courage and the boldness to say something to those around you about Jesus. Will you just say yes to the filling of the Holy Spirit? I'm not asking you to join anything. I'm not asking you to do anything but what God's word. When Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus, he says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. It should make a difference in our life. Let's pray together. Father God, today, I thank you, Lord, that you bring us together, Father. Lord, even though we don't know and can't see everything that you're doing, Father, we just say that we trust you. Holy Spirit, I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice, God, that they would open themselves up to you to be filled afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit. And God, give them the gifts, the spiritual gifts that they need, those new gifts for ministry. And Father, you place them where you want to place them. Give them the courage and the boldness to be godly men and women. Father, I pray today that you have your way. And we hold nothing back. In Jesus' name, amen.